today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
You'll be going through a time of trouble and storm and difficulty and adversity. Maybe you've gotten sick. Maybe you're in the hospital. Maybe someone you know or love is sick or in the hospital. Maybe somebody you care about or yourself, you've lost a job. But you have a peace. And the world doesn't understand that. The world can't comprehend that. The world doesn't understand why you're not freaking out. Because God has given you His peace. It passes all human understanding.
Wouldn't it be incredible to be calm in the middle of chaos? To not lose your sense when calamity comes knocking at your door? To give up those anxious and debilitating thoughts that set themselves deep in your mind? Today, Pastor John will tell you how you can have peace. Lasting and inexplainable peace. It's a peace that comes from somewhere other than yourself. It comes from someone, not from this world. Only Jesus can give you the freedom from anxiety you're looking for. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, as he begins his message, God's Antidote for Anxiety.
Notice in verse 6, the key to this whole section, Paul uses the phrase, be careful for nothing. Now, I'm reading from the King James translation, and he's actually saying, don't be anxious about anything. That's the way the NIV renders that statement. Don't be anxious about anything. So my question to you this morning is, are you anxious about anything? Maybe you say, I'm anxious about everything. Maybe there's nothing that you're not anxious about or fearful about or worried about. So Paul wants us to know that God is telling us here not to be anxious. And by the way, this is what we call an imperative. It's a command. It's not an option. God is actually commanding us, don't worry. Don't be anxious. I looked up the word anxiety in the dictionary and got the definition, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease. And certainly in a time like this, when we're dealing with this coronavirus pandemic and the all number of people that are out of work and the unemployment rate going up, people worried about how they're going to pay their mortgage or their rent or buy groceries for their family, there's so much anxiety and so much fear. But if you are a child of God, if you belong to Jesus Christ, and you can say He's your Father in heaven that you trust, you don't need to be anxious and you don't need to be worried. God tells us not to worry or to be anxious. But the question is how? How is it that we can come to a place where, like he says in verse 6, that we can be careful or anxious or worry about nothing? Well, God has an antidote for anxiety. And it has four ingredients. As you look at this whole chapter, there are four things that bring into our life that help us to win over worry and anxiety. I want you to write them down. The first is God's presence in verses 1 to 5. God's presence in verses 1 to 5. Let's read it together, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Notice that statement, stand fast in the Lord. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind, here's the phrase, in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, whose names, Paul says, are in the book of life. And then he says, rejoice, verse 4, in the Lord. So we have stand fast in the Lord, be of the same mind in the Lord. And then verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, let your gentleness, let your care, compassion for others be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Now the key phrase to this entire section, verses 1 to 5, is in verse 5 at the very end, the phrase, the Lord is at hand. What does that mean? The Lord is at hand. I believe that it means the Lord is with us, that the Lord is present. Now, some think that he's referring to the coming of the Lord, but in the context, it would seem that Paul is using the phrase to describe the presence of the Lord. And there's some modern translations that rightfully so, I believe, render it that way. The NASB renders that, the Lord is near. And I believe he's talking about not the coming of the Lord, but the nearness of the Lord. And there's anything we need right now, it's that assurance and the sense of God's presence. I love that song, I Need Thee Every Hour, because we do need him every hour, every moment of every day, amen? And I need a sense of his presence. Robert G. Gromacki said, the presence or absence of inner peace will be in direct proportion to one's awareness of the presence of Christ. I love that. To the degree that you are aware that God is with me and you sense his presence is the degree to which you will experience God's peace and a lack of worry or anxiety. Now, there are three ways that practicing the presence of God will help us. And I like that concept of practicing the presence of God. Sometimes we just blast through our days and we don't really see God in everything. We don't sense God everywhere. We don't hear God speaking to our hearts and we're not communing with him. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, it indicates that we're talking to God continually. It doesn't mean the act of prayer. We're not on our knees, folding our hands, closing our eyes, bowing our head, but we're constantly talking to God in our minds and our thoughts and our hearts. We're staying in fellowship with him. But in the text, I want you to note these three things that will be strengthened or helped when we sense the presence of God. Number one, go back to verse one, we'll be able to stand fast in the Lord. When we have a sense of God's presence in our lives, you know what it does for us? You know what it does for me? It does for you. It helps us to stand fast in the Lord. Go back to verse one. Therefore, my brethren, he's writing to the believers in Philippi, he's under house arrest in Rome, and he uses these endearing terms, and I thought about our absence from one another right now as a church, and how precious these terms are for one another in the body of Christ. My dearly beloved. That idea of beloved reminds us that God loves me and we love one another, or that you're loved by me and you're loved by God. Then he says, you're my longed for. And certainly we long for one another during this time of absence. Then he just says that you're my joy and my crown. No doubt when he gets to heaven, he realizes that those he led to Christ, those he discipled in Christ, those he mentored and encouraged in the Lord, that they will be his crown. The word there is Stephanos. It's a victor's crown. It's not a diadem, which is a king's crown. It's a reward for faithful Christian service. And I believe that every one of us that share the gospel and lead people to Christ and pray for souls and participate in the kingdom of God and advancing God's work on earth, that we're going to share with that crown when we get to heaven, those who've come to Christ through our service and our faithfulness. And then he says, stand fast in the Lord. And then he comes back to this endearing term, dearly beloved. Paul loved God's people. Paul had a care for God's people. Paul was not only a missionary and an evangelist, but Paul was a pastor, and he had a pastor's heart. He says, my dearly beloved, twice in this passage. Then he tells them to stand fast in the Lord. When God's presence is in our heart and life, it strengthens us. It gives us courage to stand for the Lord in all the light of all the opposition and opposing forces that come against us. The second thing the presence of God will do for us, it helps us to be of the same mind in the Lord. I want you to note verse 2 and 3. He says, I beseech or I beg Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche. Now these are women's names. The name Euodias means sweet fragrance, and the name Syntyche means fortunate. Now these are two women in the church, and this is the only place in the entire letter of Paul to the Philippians where there's an indication there's something going wrong. Now there was chapter 3 where there was evidently some Judaizers that were influencing some of the believers, but this is division among the brethren. He starts in verse 1 with all these endearing terms, and then he deals with an issue. Now, the issue came to mind or to Paul's attention because one of the members of the church, Epaphroditus, who had brought the offering to Paul, and would take the letter of Philippians back to the church, had reported to Paul that there were two women that weren't getting along, that weren't really seeing eye to eye. Now, we don't know what the problem was. It would be only speculation for us to try to determine what was going on, but there was some kind of issue. Now, some think it was a doctrinal issue. More likely, it was a personal issue. And it is sad in the body of Christ when we let personal preferences and petty things divide us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We let maybe some slight that someone we feel has done against us or some wrong, we let it bother us and upset us rather than committing it to God and loving that person or giving them the benefit of the doubt or forgiving them or going to them honestly and saying, is there some problem between you and I? We let it fester and build and it causes division. And that's not what God wants in His church. He wants us to love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have what? Love one for another. So these women weren't getting along, even though their name meant sweet, fragrance, and fortunate. It was unfortunate that they were putting out a bad odor and weren't getting along in the church in Philippi. So he says, I want you to, verse 2, be of the same mind in the Lord. So number one, the presence of God helps us to stand fast in the Lord. Number two, it helps us to be of the same mind in the Lord. When I sense God's presence in my life, I'm going to love you, I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to seek to reconcile with you, and I'm going to seek to defer to you. Remember Philippians chapter 2, joy in spite of people is a submissive mind. As I humble myself and consider your interests more important than mine, and I have the mind of Christ, which wants to give in order to serve others. So he says, I want you to help the women who labored with me in the gospel, verse 3. So the women serving alongside Paul, with other fellow laborers whose names are in, he uses the phrase, book of life. All of God's people have their name in the book of life, which means that you are a child of God. So the first is we stand fast in the Lord. The second is we have the same mind or attitude or outlook in the Lord. And the third is in verse 4 and the first part of verse 5, we rejoice in the Lord. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So the exhortation there is to stand fast in the Lord, to be of the same mind in the Lord, and to rejoice in the Lord. Our joy, as we see all the way through the book of Philippians, is not in our circumstances. And we would love to see our circumstances change. But we're not in control of our circumstances, but we know who is. Amen? God is. And I struggle just as much as you are getting discouraged and doubts and fears and worries about the church and the future of America and our children and our children's children. I'm a grandfather and I worry about my grandchildren. I'm worried just like you, but I need to turn to the Lord and sense that He's with me. He hasn't abandoned me. He hasn't forsaken me. And in light of the presence of God, I need to know that I can stand fast. I can work together with others to serve the Lord. And I can rejoice not in my circumstances, but I can rejoice in the Lord. Write down Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, where the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus spoke these words, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, Hebrews 13, 6, that the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me. So first he mentions Jesus said he'll never leave us or forsake us. It's the only place in the Bible we have that statement from the Lord. And then he says, I can boldly say that the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid or fear of what man can do unto me. Remember when Jesus was going to ascend back to the Father and he gave his disciples what's called the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 20. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we have a sense of God's presence. And we actually know because of his promise that he is with us. Even when you can't see him, even when you can't feel him, Even when you're not hearing him, God is there. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. He'll give us strength. The second ingredient in God's antidote for anxiety is in verses 6 to 9. It is God's peace. So we have a presence of God, and we have the peace of God. Verse 6 down to verse 9. Let's read it. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the result is the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," Paul says, "do them, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now again, the key is verse 7. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus." Now I want you to notice in verse 7, which is the key, the peace of God. This is not what the Bible calls peace with God. There's both described in the Bible. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we are justified by faith. That's your salvation. The peace of God is once you are saved, it's walking in faith, walking in trust, living by his word, practicing his presence, then you have the peace of God. That's your sanctification. And we talked about that we are saved and then we are sanctified. So the peace with God is salvation and the peace of God is my sanctification. So it's something that's experiential. It's something that's progressional. It's something that different Christians have to different degrees based on their walking in fellowship and faith and trust with the Lord. D.L. Moody used to say, a little faith will get your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul. If you trust the Lord, you won't have to be worried or won't have to be filled with fear. Notice the second thing about this peace in verse 7. It's the peace that passes understanding. In other words, it'll blow your mind. It'll be beyond your comprehension. You'll be going through a time of trouble and storm and difficulty and adversity. Maybe you've gotten sick. Maybe you're in the hospital. Maybe someone you know or love is sick or in the hospital. Maybe somebody you care about or yourself, you've lost a job. But you have a peace. And the world doesn't understand that. The world can't comprehend that. The world doesn't understand why you're not freaking out. Because God has given you his peace. It passes all human understanding. But notice the third thing about this peace in verse 7. It's the peace that protects us. And this is the important point. It's the peace of God which passes all understanding, and it will keep, or the word is guard or to garrison. It is a military term. The word keep there means that it'll form a citadel, a protection, a wall around us. So God's peace forms a wall of protection. And when these thoughts like arrows come to assail us, God's protection watches over us through his peace. So his peace guards or protects like a wall of protection. Two things, our hearts and our minds. Our hearts would mean our emotions, and our minds would mean our thoughts. How our emotions like to play games with us, right? A time like this, you're up one day and you're down another. You're feeling really good, then you turn the news on, you feel really bad. Little advice, turn the news off, put praise music on in the house. You're feeling really bad when you think about things, and then you turn your mind to Jesus, and you look full in his wonderful face, and all of a sudden the things of earth grow faintly dim in light of his glory and grace. So we find out that our hearts are calmed. And our minds or our thoughts, we're going to look at that in a moment in verse 8. Our thoughts go rampant. Our thoughts go crazy. We need to guard our minds. We need to mind our minds, our thoughts. And then notice, fourthly, that this peace in verse 7 is the peace that comes to us through Christ Jesus. It doesn't come in a bottle. Doesn't come in a pill box. It's better than a tranquilizer. It's the Holy Spirit in resident in our heart and gives us the peace of God. You know, God's not freaking out right now. God's not biting his fingernails in heaven, worried about what's going to happen to the world. God is in complete control. And the peace of God can fill our hearts and our minds. But it all comes to us through, mark that phrase, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." He gives a peace unlike the world. In the world, he says, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, how does this peace come to us as individuals? Write these down. There's three ways that God's peace can be appropriated by us as God's people. Number one, we need to pray right. Verse 6. Go back with me to verse 6. When he says, don't worry about anything, he goes on to say, but pray about everything. I love the Living paraphrase here, not the New Living Translation, but the Living Bible, where the Living Bible actually says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. This is perhaps one of the most important steps that we as God's people can take during a critical time like this. We need to not worry, but pray. Not fret, but commit our way unto the Lord. So when we are at peace with God, we appropriate that through prayer. But not just prayer. Notice it's praying about everything, verse 6. Big things, small things, little things, in the middle things, whatever it might be, all things lead us to pray to God. This is why we're talking to God daily. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you. We're talking to God. But I want to break it down for you in verse 6. There's actually four ways to pray here as a child of God if we want to have peace. We have to pray with adoration. Write that down, verse 6. The word prayer is a unique word in the Greek. It's used as a general word for worship, for praise, and adoration. It's the word for prayer that's used for act of worship and service to God. Remember Jesus when he taught us how to pray, our Father? And then he said, which art in heaven? So we're talking to God, and we recognize that he is in heaven. And then he went on to say, hallowed be thy name. That's worship. That's praise. When we pray, we should start our prayer with worship and adoration.
Anxiety is common in the world, especially in this time of history. But today you learn that there is something, or rather someone, that can help. Pastor John shared ways in which Jesus is an antidote for anxious thoughts. Through his presence in your life and your praise and worship of him, you can find release from the worry that pulls you down. Give your cares to the Lord. He is your steadfast and caring Savior. Before we tell you what's happening on the next edition of Revival Radio, let's hand it back over to Pastor John.
I want to take a moment and invite you to the church that I'm privileged to pastor, Revival Christian Fellowship. If you live near Menifee, California, we'd love to have you join us at one of our services on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. It's such a blessing to come together as the body of Christ and to worship and study God's Word. We'd love to have you and your family join us. It's easy to find our service times and directions to the church by visiting our website, revival.tv. I look forward to seeing you in an upcoming Sunday morning or Wednesday night service.
Prayer is vital in fighting anxious thoughts. Pastor John will tell you next time on Revival Radio about how Jesus taught taught us to pray and how it can alter your communication with Him. Pastor John will also explore what patience and provision give to this battle for your mind and how you can rest, totally rest, in the love and grace of the Lord no matter the circumstances happening around you. Tune in again as Pastor John continues teaching a survey of the book of Philippians next time on Revival Radio.